Instant inspiration. To be happy, see that everything you do or have done is perfect. To be happy, see that everything you do or have done is perfect. So, done perfect, one is happy. So simple. Done perfect, one is happy. Now you say, ah, sure. I hate these people who are perfectionists, these people who go around picky and checking on things and detailing things and so forth like that. That makes it very irritating to live with people who are like that, you know. It's no fun to be with people who are like that. Well, if you are not a perfectionist, that is true. If you are a perfectionist, then you are sort of in competition with each other to see who can find more perfection than the other. However, I think I should define the word perfection for me here. To me, the word perfection means being happy with what I do. Now, how does that strike you? Being happy with what I do. In other words, whatever I do, I'm happy with it. I'm happy with it for a number of reasons. One reason, I give my best to it. The other reason, I take on that which I know I can do. And if I don't know I can do, then I learn how to do it. But I learn how before I do it. I don't just blunder in there. It's like, again, we use Anita and the tractor. I said, bring up the tractor. And Anita said, I'll bring it up. And I said, fine. She says, how do you run it? So first she learned how to run it. And then she brought it up. When we learn how to do anything and then bring it up, we're wonderful. I'm going That's called perfection. Looking at everything you see and seeing that it's done perfectly. I'm just looking out the window now. I should have left the microphone on. I'm looking out the window at our two fellows who are constructing a concrete block building for our well house here. It's just a modest little well house with a window and a door, and they are going at it as though they're making the Taj Mahal, I believe, because they're using such perfection in their construction of tie bars, rebar, of the six-inch concrete block, and of a footing and everything else. It's just all perfectly done. But my dad is a building contractor, and my dad built houses for years, and I worked with him for years. And I know the men would take a string and they would draw it from one edge of the block to the other. They'd always run up the corners first. And then they'd run a string across there. And that string had to be perfectly level. Sometimes they even had a little level that hung on the string. It was a light one. And they could tell that the string was perfectly level. And this, it was done by professionals. And this was back in the 30s. In the 40s, when building was done like that, you know, that primeval ages, you know. But today, with all of our new genius work going, you'd think that they would apply some of that. But it's a unique approach that they're taking to this. I find it very, very unique. So perhaps when they get done, and I go out there after they've left, and take my level and run it across the tops of the rows of block, it will be so perfect it will amaze me. Because these fellows have probably, you know what a musician is, don't you? And who has perfect pitch, and that musician can play anything in perfect pitch. Well, perhaps they are people who do everything in perfect level in perfect order, and I think that's most interesting. We'll double check. Now, done perfect, one is happy. Perhaps they don't know about that. Maybe I should tell them, but I won't, because we'll let them do their work and come up with it as perfectly as they do. To be happy, see that everything you do or that you have done is perfect. So you see, I'm looking at those fellows and judging them as to how they're doing their job. And as I look at them, I think to myself, why am I judging them? Why am I looking at their work and expecting it to be a little less than perfect when that they're giving their perfect attitude to the job? Our statement today is, to be happy, see that everything you do or have ever done is perfect. So my eyes must now be perfect as I look at what they're doing. Because if my eyes are perfect, then I am doing my perfect job. I am doing my perfect job of looking at the work that they're doing as being perfect. And this is very important. This is very important. Everyone doesn't have to use the same system that others use. I might digress for a moment and return to the days of yesterday, called the Great Pyramid of Giza. Now, the Pyramid of Giza was made out of stone, and that stone was so perfectly honed or so perfectly cut that every piece of stone just perfectly fit with the other. They say you cannot even put a razor blade between it or a knife blade between the stone. I kind of imagine you can in certain places where it's weathered a little bit. But basically, where the stone has been unweathered, you can't put a knife blade between it. Now, what would you say? Would you say that they had a perfect saw that, you know, did a perfect cut on that? Do you think they had a perfect level that made a perfect line across there, and that they knew which stone it was going to be setting on top of? My goodness, that would be quite an amazing architect to do something like that. Well, we happen to know from our own understanding that the pyramid was not built in that way. But just to play the game of the humans, we'll say that they did not have levels in that those days. They had cups of water they might have set on something to check, you know, where it was level. But they didn't have any water in a bubble, you know, in a piece of glass that they would check on a stick to see if it were in the proper order. They didn't have saws. They had to take each little chip out of the metal, whatever they had. I think they, was that the Iron Age or Bronze Age? Well, in any age, it was not really very good metal. And when they were cutting stone, they surely had to use a lot of chisels, and they had to sharpen them, and they had to remelt them and fix them up again. So they're amazing people if this is what we lay upon them. And I find it so charming because they did it perfectly, absolutely perfectly. They didn't do everything perfectly, but they did the pyramids perfectly. Now, why didn't they do everything else perfectly? Why didn't they build the palaces and the houses and the granaries and all the other things that they built? Why didn't they do that in the same way? Because they weren't constructed in the same way. The magic, if you will, that constructed the pyramids was done by the mind. And the magic that constructed their homes, too, was done by the mind. But it was also done by their brawn. And they didn't expect the houses to be perfect. Now, ask me why they didn't expect the houses to be perfect and why they expected the pyramid to be perfect. Well, they didn't expect the houses to be perfect because they weren't the houses of the Pharaoh. They were the houses of the people. And the people did not build perfect houses for themselves. They built adequate ones, but not perfect. And the Pharaoh wanted perfection. He wanted perfection at whatever cost, according to the stories that come down to us. And he got it. Amazing. Amazing when he worked with all of these people who were not members of his household. They were not members of his church. They were not members of his faith. Perhaps many of them were forced to become members, but they came from the animalistic cultures of the countryside. They were brought in to do the labor work, according to what people like to say. But the Pharaoh, and I would labor that point, the Pharaoh wanted everything perfect, and that's why he got it. The people didn't for themselves, and that's why their homes did not last. You look, all right, let's just go to the Notre Dame. That's a beautiful church over in Paris, and notice how it is built. Notice the cantilever style that is used on it. Notice how perfectly the arches are formed. Notice all the fleur-de-lis and all of the stone masonry that is done in the relief busts that are there. It's absolutely amazing, absolutely amazing. And it was done wonderfully and beautifully. And it held up tremendous weights of the roof. They had tile on their roofs. But it was built so that the weight would be pushed down on the stanchions on the side or down on the buttresses that went out. But let's go back even further, back to the time of Egypt, not Egypt, but Egypt, yeah, but back to the time of Greece and Rome, when they built the Parthenon, and they built all these other things. What did they use? How did they get those big, round, perfectly cut stones up onto the top of the other stone? Because it wasn't all one piece. They were done in sections of perhaps as heavy a section as they could lift, but the section was at least 4 feet or maybe 5 feet tall, and they chiseled it and made it, but it had to be so that each flute would meet each flute of its way going up. And what perfection they demanded. Why? Because the Roman emperor said perfection, you know? There was one leading demand for perfection. Now, just imagine if the pharaohs, who were so powerful, if the emperor, who was so powerful, and others, had taken that desire for perfection and said, you're perfect, you're perfect, you're perfect, to everybody, and said, now you're home perfect, don't you walk around here with a hurt, don't you ever show me a hurt because you're home perfect, and people would demand of themselves to be perfect because they could not walk around the pharaoh or the emperor or whoever and live, because he would just say, no way, no way, you're perfect, and he demanded they be perfect. Would they be perfect? You betcha. Would it have perhaps made a complete flip-flop of Hippocrates and his work in medicine? Who knows? But it sure would have brought perfection to the people, and they would have lived healthier lives. Well, what did the Greeks and the Romans worship? They worshiped the human body. They worshiped the female body and the male body, and they made great statues to them, and they were always naked, and they were always running, and they were always discus throwing, and, you know, always doing beautiful things that kept their bodies in excellent condition. And they expected that perfection out of segments of their society, but not all. And who were the Spartans? Did you know about the Spartans? What about the Spartans? They were tough fellows. And they would sleep on a slab of stone around the ground. And they would be naked. And they would just have a little short cloak that they carried. Somebody didn't even cover their genitals, you know. But they just had this short cloak that they wear. But it didn't matter. They would go off into war, and they would go into battle. And they would have a very primitive series of meals, which were nourishing, but it created their perfection. Now, why didn't the emperors, and why didn't the generals of the army follow the diet of their men, who were stout, perfect, healthy, dynamic, wonderful guys? And they were chubby and, overweight, and they had problems, you know. Whereas the men had the fewest of problems. Well, you say the ones who had problems died. Well, that's probably true, too. But the thing is, most of them, I'm sure, lived. Because that diet, as our scientists are telling us today, helps to have a longer and a more complete life. If they had asked for perfection from themselves, if they had asked for perfection from their generals, as they did from their army, and from the people who worked for them, and the sculptors and the gymnasts and so forth, and if they had asked for that, and what a fabulous heritage they would have given to humanity. Not the genes and the chromosomes, not those things. Those are fine too. But what they would give would be what? The thought. The thought of perfection. And those people would have lived so perfectly, so, and many did. The athletes lived perfect lives. The people who were the architects and the people who were doing these famous things for the emperor were looking in their mind for the ways to create these marvelous buildings and so forth, and they did a great job. So how about you? What is it that you would like to call forth for yourself? I say, to be happy, see that everything you do or ever have done is perfect. One, done perfect, one is happy. So let's put that cause in motion for ourselves today, that we live in our eternally perfect ideal spirit, mind, and body, that our mind is alert and wide awake and eager to participate in the fun things of the world, and that our body is fully capable, healthy-wise, to do everything good, and our spirit is one with the eternal, and we are tuned in 100% all the time. Okay, my happy, perfect friends, I can only see you perfect because I am. I love you.